Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, hour number two. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Awesome first hour. A lot of football, obviously something to react to. Our colleague Pete Prisco put it out there. Does not think the Cardinals will take Kyler Murray. We'll circle back to that. By the way, it's part of our Twitter poll. That is our Twitter poll question. Go to Tiki and Tierney. Give it a vote pertaining to Kyler Murray's future and what the Cards will do at 1-855-212-4227. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Individually, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. We're going out to the draft on this week. Teak and Santa are going Wednesday night. I'm going to fly in Thursday. We'll be doing our shows Thursday and Friday right from the draft. So it is going to be absolutely hopping. And listen, you know, as we get to the NBA here, I'm running out of patience with Russell Westbrook. And I have no tolerance for this.
I went on
no
my
time for infantile actions.
I agree. I went on my rant last week about him.
You did.
Similar situation, but this might be worse.
Let's set this up for you here. There's a couple things to unpack. Steve Kerr chimed in, which is always interesting anytime an NBA coach, you know, gives an opinion on something that doesn't pertain directly to one of his players, which is exactly what Steve Kerr did, and we should greatly appreciate it. Some much-needed common sense here. Listen to, you should know about the Barry Trammell disconnect, the calmness for the Oklahoman. They've had a problem there. Basically, Trammell's opinion a while ago was that the Thunder have empowered him, Westbrook, that is, and allowed him to run amok and run a little loose here. And by not reeling him in, it has been to the detriment of the Oklahoma City Thunder. As you can imagine, a lot of the modern athletes are very sensitive these days, including Russell Westbrook, great talent aside.
Including, especially Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that facetiously. And obviously, he's sensitive, and he has taken a very childish approach to this. Short, terse, you know, no comment answers here. He mixed it up. He was actually, boy, he was flat out talking over this weekend. Here's Russell Westbrook on what's happening.
You guys did a great job on Lillard in the first half. He didn't score until the last 75 seconds of the half. Were you pleased with the defense you played on him, and how did it change when he got going in the third quarter?
It's a good question. Not sure.
All right, so pretending to be contemplative and then obviously just going to stick it to Tamble again, who he can't stand. Keep in mind that the former MVP shooting 36.5% overall, not from three, overall, yeah, in the series, right around 28% from downtown, and getting absolutely eviscerated and abused by Damian Lillard, who, if you didn't know a reputation and you watched the first five games of the series, or four games, pardon me, you would think that Damian Lillard was the MVP, and you would think that Russell Westbrook was about a seventh man.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What you would think if
you're
just tuned into the series.
And you know what the problem is with this, BT, is that it's starting to rub off on Paul George.
Ding, ding,
who,
ding.
I mean, yeah, we really like Paul George. He's a quiet star. You know what I mean? He's not overly bombastic. He's not like out there in social media. He goes and does his job. He doesn't take ill-advised shot like Russell Westbrook. He doesn't feel like he's a liability to his team at all. But now here he is sitting next to Russell Westbrook in this post game, saying the same things that Russ was saying before. Like, next question, next question. And this is hitting the NBA in different ways, as Steve Kerr, who BT alluded to multiple times, had this to say about this situation. This is per The Athletic. Quote, "I just feel that we have to be very careful as a league. We're in a very good place right now. We're very popular. Fans love the game, the social dynamic, the fashion." Not all the fashion, but some of the fashion. Continue, he goes on to say, "but more than anything, they love the connection they feel to the players. I think it's important for players to understand that, and it's key to the dynamic of this league. I don't think it's a healthy dynamic for this league, for any player, any team, any local media, or any national media to be a part of this nastiness that's starting to exist between Russell Westbrook and some of these media members." So Steve Kerr talking generally about the league, even though he's talking specifically about this situation with Russell Westbrook, he's right, and he's right, right? Mm-hmm. The league depends upon a connection, not just with, you know, the players and the media, but the fans, right? The fans feel like they have ownership of these guys because they're so intimately close to them because of their social media profiles, because of the fact that they don't wear helmets or anything. They're right there exposed on the court. That coverage, whether it's on, you know, the TNT or NBA TV or wherever, local news, whatever, it's enormous around the NBA playoffs.
Best of any sport.
It's unreal, right? Yep, and you feel like you're sitting next to these guys and you feel like you know them. And so when you get these, I don't know, condescending and I don't know, put off these remarks, it just feels, I don't know, it feels like it's anti what the league has been pushing towards for a long time.
It's infantile. It is, it's bordering on complete and utterly unacceptable to the point where Silver needs to step in. It's nice for Steve Kerr to weigh in. I know you can't quite force people to speak. You can force them to show up.
Yeah. Which they do.
No, I know. I know. I understand that. But there's gotta be like a subset to that enforcement. There's gotta be, I don't know how you write the rules or rewrite the language here, but this is a very, very important point in league history because we're already at a place now, Teak, where, and it's quite frankly been like this for a long, long time, but it's really amplified now, where the average fan simply cannot even remotely relate monetarily to what these players pull in.
Yeah, we said that for a while now.
You have... The planet separation is like seven or eight planets at this point.
I know.
You know, for a while it was maybe two or three, and then the '90s maybe a fourth. It's almost the entire solar system.
But I
can tell
you, the problem, BT, is that you feel like the players don't even care.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And it's one thing, like if the product is fun and fast and loose and aesthetically pleasing, and it flows well, and it's above the rim, and there's engaging personalities. I do think most fans, and there's high-level efficiency, I believe most fans who cannot relate monetarily can forget that and still latch onto something because they love what the NBA is giving them
until
you start disliking the people who are giving you the product.
Say. That's exactly what I was going to say. It all works, the disconnect, if you like the guy.
Yep.
It's like, dude, this guy's a superstar. He's a multimillionaire, generational multimillionaire.
Yep.
And you know, but you know, I don't. I like him.
He's funny. He's cool. He's like Embiid. Even though I was all over Embiid last week for the dirty shot, Embiid's a cool guy. He's relatable.
Look, Steph Curry. Why does America love Steph Curry? Because he feels like approachable, and he's always smiling, and he's easy, and he answers the questions, even when it's, you know, he's got to answer the hard questions. He's there. He answers the questions. And look, some of the real G's in the NBA, they might hate Steph because he gets too much props for just being a shooter, but he plays the game.
You mean the OGs or the guys in the game now?
The guys now.
I don't think there's many guys in the game now that begrudge him. I think guys that played the previous generation.
I don't know. Because remember there was beef with like LeBron and him had a.
Well, LeBron. Remember when LeBron? And by the way, did you see LeBron's Instagram post on Easter? Well, what the hell's wrong with him? Just go away.
Relevancy.
I know he's not going to go away.
He wants relevancy. That's, I mean, it is.
I kind of want him to go away.
Right?
Are you that desperate? He got 43 million followers on Twitter.
At least for a couple months.
Yeah, man, we'll pick it back up when you get a coach.
You're right.
Or you get a couple of new teammates, or I don't know, you make the playoffs maybe. The finances, and listen, this is crazy because you would think that some of the better teams this year, and again, not always commensurate, we know that for years the Knicks would spend poorly, they'd be up here and my hand is up toward the sky in terms of payroll, and they'd be down here and it's basically touching my desk in terms of actual NBA standings and success rate.
Yep.
So there's not always a connection there, but the Miami Heat, you know, not the Celtics, not the Warriors, not the Rockets, the Miami Heat have the top payroll in 2018-2019. Listen to these numbers for a second. Chris Bosh, and he's still on the payroll, so this kind of obviously skews it. $26 million, right? And by the way, if Chris Bosh was still playing it and functional and healthy, nobody would have an issue with that.
Yep.
Hassan Whiteside, you have to have an issue with this. $24 million. Ryan Anderson, $20 million. Dragic, when they signed him a couple of years ago, he's fine. $18 million, and it's not terrible. James Johnson, 14 change. Kelly Olynyk, who they got from Boston, 13.5. Deion Waiters, who's bounced around now, 12.7. Josh Richardson, 10. I mean, Winslow, who hasn't materialized as a draft pick. And then you start getting, they have like seven or eight guys who are making $2 or $3 million. which is fine. But that's the Miami Heat, who aren't even, they're not even in the playoffs.
They're not relevant, yeah.
I mean, so the NBA, to Steve Kerr's point, back to the conversation, the root of our conversation, Steve Kerr is directly on the money that it's bad. And maybe this generation doesn't care because they already got theirs. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, you always talk about a responsibility to the next crop. You know, I feel this as a broadcaster. Granted, I don't even make anything close to what these guys make, but I understand that, you know, I'm trying to protect our medium, you know, whether my son or daughter studies journalism or their kids do or whatever, or your kids do, or anybody. You know, I want this medium to be good and to flourish and to have ethics and to have balance and to be entertaining. And anyway, I carry that cross, so to speak, with me daily. I try to anyway, and how I comport myself on air and on social media. So I care about it. You care about it. Even though they're making $30, $40 million, you have to care about the kids who are in seventh grade right now who will be in the NBA at some point.
It's a machine.
You have to care.
It's a machine. It's a machine. And when you sit at the booth, at the table after doing a press conference, you take out a cog in the machine, it breaks. Not just one, but if everybody starts following you, and this is what we just said, Paul George is now doing the same thing, right? If they all start doing the same thing, the machine breaks a little bit, and that's not good for the game. And Steve Kerr is right.
100%.
Russell Westbrook's got to get his act together.
He's never going to change. Look, he's not going to change.
At the end of the day, I understand he's frustrated. He thinks they should be better than the Portland Trail Blazers. McCollum.
They would be if he played better.
I don't disagree.
I mean, what is he frustrated at himself?
But he thinks that they should be. But they're losing these. They're losing these games.
Hey, listen.
He thinks he's out there balling.
If you weren't shooting 35% overall, you would be winning.
14 points on 5 of 21
shooting.
Come on,
man. 5 of 20.
5 of 21.
5 of 21. And by the way, a small army of turnovers.
Yes.
That we just kind of gloss over because we focus on the field goal percentage. He's been terrible.
I know it.
Terrible. And his attitude is really alarming, and it's unnecessary. And, you know, I don't think he's going to change. What needs to change is the way the league handles those kind of personalities.
You think it would be better to just not have him meet the media?
You know what? I almost think it would. The only thing I would worry about with that is it would create a downhill slope, a slippery one.
Where nobody would want to do it.
Where guys might actually fake. Embrace a combative personality to give themselves a pass. Hey, Russ got out of jail. If I do the same thing, I'm not going to have to go in front of these microphones either. And then it might get even worse because there are a lot of good guys in the NBA who don't necessarily love to talk. And if they think that there's a way out, they might try to emulate or replicate what Russ is doing. But Russ just, you know, Russ is. He's not going to change.
Yeah.
Not going to change. He's 30 years old. He's 30 years of age. He's not going to change. All right, coming up next, what can the league actually do about this? Is there something? I mean, this war that players wage with the media, there's got to be a solution. And to be fair, maybe it's got to be a little more favorable toward the players as well. Maybe there's got to be bend on both sides. In the sake of fairness, maybe I'm missing something. But I'm sure Sekou Smith will not be missing anything. He's going to join us coming up next here, NBA TV analyst on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Are you taking good care of your car? Well, show your vehicle some love at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts you need to get the job done right, from measuring tools, mechanic wire and motor oil, to cylinders, starters, and springs. From batteries, belts, and brakes to filters, fluids, and fuses, O'Reilly Auto Parts has it all. O'Reilly's stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. It's one-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs. You need something? The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. And if you don't have time to get to the store, shop O'Reilly online. You can have your ordered shipped to your house or to the store. You want to buy even more stuff? Well, become an O'Reilly O'Rewards loyalty member, and you'll earn points every time you shop. Reach 150 points and earn a $5 reward. Keep going and earn double points, bonus points, and even mega points. Plus, get an exclusive email onlys offer. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Yeah, I'm kind of more of a WAPA guy myself when I hear this song. More of a WAPA guy. All right, Tink, this Thursday and Friday, we're taking the show on the road. We're going to be in Nashville. This is going to be awesome as we hit the road for the draft presented by the Wrangler Performance Series. Wrangler Performance Series, a collection of jeans and pants featuring a comfort flex waistband denim that flexes for comfort. Wrangler Performance Series. Try on a pair today. All right, let's get back to the NBA and some of the issues you and I were flushing through before. Let's try to get some answers, some guidance, some perspective, whatever it is. But, I mean, these post-game press conferences, for some, it's turned into amateur hour. It's ridiculous. Sekou Smith is covering the league, and he has been for a long time. And he's back with us, longtime guest of the show. Sekou, Tinky, and Tierney, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm good, guys. Thanks. I was in Oklahoma City last night. I was proud of Russell Westbrook for actually acting like a grown-up during the post-game press conference.
Very engaging. Yes, yes. He was very thoughtful in his second-word response. You know, Sekou, let me ask you this, because Tiki raised the question, and before I answered it, I truly paused and I thought about it, and I think it might be better. I don't know. Would it almost be better just not to have him speak, but by extension, then others would have a pass and not have to speak? Well, what's better, kind of acting like a dog and pony show or not saying anything at all?
How about you show up and just act like a professional?
I hear you. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not that difficult, guys. You know, NBA players have been doing this for generations. You do your 5 minutes, do your 10 minutes, get out of there and go on with your life. It's not that hard. And the scrutiny that comes along with the playoffs is well established. So Russ's thing with Barry Trimble is something that goes back years. And it just festered and became an embarrassment for everybody involved. Somebody got through to Russ over the past few days, and it at least acknowledged the man's, you know, that the man was asking him questions. He didn't answer them very well. I mean, it's not like he gave him some loquacious answer. He just gave him a couple of words, but at least.
Did we lose Sekou?
A terrible example for everybody.
You know what? Hey, guys, bring him down. We're going to get Sekou back on. Line's a little choppy there. He cut out for a sec. Basically, what he was saying, if you didn't catch the end of it, is that at least it was, according to Sekou, a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Kind of gave him the makings, the beginning of an answer.
Yeah,
I guess.
You know, it's interesting, though, because I want to ask Sekou, and I can't wait to get him back because.
We got him now.
Sekou, I know you just came back to us, but do you think this is informative about Russ in general and why sometimes he's, I don't know, erratic on the court? Because he's kind of erratic off of it at times as well. You think that is there a connection there, or am I just kind of making this up?
No, I was talking to some people from the Thunder over the weekend. I was there from Friday until this, you know, to early this morning. They love the guy. he's beloved, you know, in the organization, in the community. So, no, it's not – there's no – you know – there's nothing about him that says erratic when he's not dealing with us,
yeah,
the media. You know, I think this is just his shield. You know, somebody told me that they've talked to Russ about this over the years, about how he's got to let his guard down and stop being so, you know, uptight around the media, and they said he just won't have it. He feels like he has to have that veneer up to protect himself from a media that he thinks has been unfair to him, not since he joined the NBA, but since he was in high school and he wasn't getting the attention he thought he deserved.
Oh, he's got to get a grip, man. He's got to get a reality check here. Sekou, he's completely warped if he thinks that. Because
no, I mean, listen, there are a lot of guys who, when you wear that as your armor, and that's the thing, that chip on your shoulder that has driven you, you know, to become the player you are, it's hard. I understand it's hard to let it go. But at some point, you got to grow up, man. You got to grow up and move on.
Yeah, and the reason Sekou Smith is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, the reason I say what I say is, I mean, when he was playing for Ben Howland, I mean, at UCLA, he was treated. I mean, I don't live in California, so I can't speak to the day to day. But being a huge college basketball consumer my whole life, Russell Westbrook got treated pretty well by the national media. So unless I missed it, which I don't think I did. you know, he's I guess he's using his motivation. I guess you can't argue with the results so far. It just seems odd. He's just, I don't know. It's, we could beat this to a bloody pulp.
Yeah.
Here's the bottom line. He's not going to change. He's 30 years. He's a grown man who's a great player, although erratic. A little flawed in terms of how he, you know, reacts a little bit with certain things, but he's not going to change, right? He is who he is.
Yeah, look, he was the last guy to get a scholarship in his class at UCLA. He only got a scholarship because they lost out on somebody else. I get the story. I get the backstory. What I don't get is why you would carry that all the way now at 30 years old when you've got, I mean, think about, the guy's got a great life. He's, you know, he's the center of attention in that community. He's got a, you know, he's got a great life off the court. He's got a max contract. They've built the organization around him. You know, you got to look at the guy he's competing against. Look at Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
He's got a similar story where he didn't get the attention he thought he deserved, had to go to Weber State, you know, to make his bones to get in the league. And he's the ultimate professional. He handles it in a completely opposite way of Russ, and it works great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why Russ wouldn't adopt, or at least make some changes or contemplate making some changes.
Yeah, and look, we still don't talk enough about Damian Lillard and this Portland Trailblazers team, which is about to go on to the next round. And OKC, which will likely, unless they win three in a row, be knocked out in the first round for the third straight year. But let's talk about Portland briefly. I mean, it feels like after 2 years of being swept out of the postseason, that Portland kind of has it figured out a little bit. And we thought after the big injury that they would be, you know, kind of stuck. But it is Cantor's turned into a pretty decent fit for them, and obviously Dame is stepping up. What's the reality of Portland making a run here to get to the finals, or the Western Conference Finals at least?
I mean, I know Charles and the guys on Inside have been talking about them believing Portland has a chance to make the finals. I think that's ambitious.
Yeah.
But the way the bracket's set up, they have a very good chance to make the conference final. And it's really about them being introspective and understanding what their shortcomings were in these past two playoff appearances. Now, if you get swept by an all-time great Warriors team, nobody's mad at you.
Yeah.
But to get swept by the Pelicans last year was beyond the pale. And I think they learned from that. They understand that as great as Dame and CJ are together, they've got to have other guys play well. And last night, Al-Farouq Aminu was great. I mean, just perfect role player, filling in the empty spaces when they needed it. And it's about Terry Stotts understanding his roster. They've had this group together for a few years now. They know what they're getting. They know how teams are going to attack them. And their sound and what they're doing counteract whatever you're throwing at them. And I think that's been their biggest thing, is just knowing who they are and turning the light on themselves, as opposed to worrying about outside circumstances, the chatter, the other team, and everything else that could derail you at this time of year.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Sekou Smith, of course, NBA.com, NBA TV, Hangtime Podcast. He's with us a bunch of times here on the show, Tiki and Tierney. And you mentioned you mentioned the Pelicans, who swept the Blazers a year ago, and obviously the script is totally flipped here, Sekou. But as you well know, David Griffin is now there to piece things back together. Does this change the direction, the aggression in which they shop Anthony Davis? You know, Teague and I kicked the tires on this a week ago when he was introduced. Any chance they can rehabilitate what seems to be a very fractured relationship and keep him in New Orleans?
I have a hard time seeing that happen, you know, because I think Anthony Davis has already made up his mind that he wants to go play elsewhere. Now Griff is going to go in there and put it all on the table. He's as good as it gets in terms of managing a situation for his franchise and coming up with the best outcomes. I just don't know if he's going to be able to fix all that went wrong in that relationship with Anthony Davis. Dale Demps, Danny Ferry, and the guys who were there before, they let it get so out of control. And you didn't have a strong front office presence as it was. So I think Anthony Davis kind of felt like he was just twisting in the wind. And now Griffin's having to play catch-up. I don't know that he's got enough time to repair the damage that's already been done. If not, what you do if you're David Griffin is you go in there and get a sweetheart's deal. You go out and find the very best deal you can for one of the top players in the league and start an ambitious rebuild in New Orleans with an owner who's 100% behind you. So it's a great situation for Griff. We hate to lose him, obviously, at NBA TV.
Yeah.
But what a clean slate he'll have to work with in New Orleans if they pull off the right kind of deal for AD.
Yeah, no, and he's got a little bit of a resume that says he might be able to do so. Quickly, Sekou, because we're running up against it here for a little bit, but any idea what the Lakers are thinking as far as head coach or even a replacement for Magic, even though it doesn't seem like they might not fill that role? What's happening with the Lakers right now?
It's a great question. Nobody really knows. Had you told me 2 years ago that Rob Pelinka would be the last man standing from that reorg, I would have laughed at you because he was the most surprising addition.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot of things to work out. You got to sort it out first and foremost by finding the right coach. I think it's very difficult to find somebody who's going to be the right guy at this stage of LeBron's career.
Yeah.
So you almost have to look for a coach who's going to come help you build something that sustains, that you can sustain beyond LeBron's time with the Lakers. And that's really a tough call because your window of opportunity with LeBron is now, you know, the next two seasons. And if you can't make that work then some really difficult choices have to be made about what you do to bridge that gap going forward.
Sekou, you think they hire a coach before they hire a president?
Yes, because I don't know that you're going to hire another team president.
Yeah.
It may end up being that Pelinka's the front office face. You let him run that show.
God, he doesn't know what he's doing, Sekou.
Rob Lowe?
Yeah.
Nobody knows what they're doing in L.A., clearly. I mean, they've been out of playoffs for 6 years.
Yeah.
They haven't known what they're doing for years. Wow. We all saw the end coming when Kobe was still healthy.
Yeah.
And apparently nobody in the Laker front office did. That's why they're in a predicament there now.
What a mess. Yeah. Sekou, really good stuff. NBA TV, NBA.com, Hangtime Podcast. Appreciate it. I know it's still early in the playoffs, so I know we'll be chatting again down the road. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Be good.
Okay, man, right back at you. There you go. Coming up here, pretty high praise, a long-time Hall of Fame NFL executive compares one of the current quarterbacks coming out for the draft to, drum roll, you ready? Peyton Manning. Wow. We'll cut that up after Jay Berman's update. Football at the 40s is next. Here's Jay. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. On this draft Monday, we're heading out to Tennessee midweek. We'll be doing our shows out there Thursday and Friday. First up, before we get to football at the 40s here on the show, time for Doing More. Brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. Everything you need to do Project Smarter. It's the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. As we take a look at a player who's doing a whole lot for his team, Kawhi Leonard dropping 34 yesterday in Orlando. En route to the Raptors, they just waxed the Magic in Game 4. Beat them up 107-85. Toronto now leads 3-1. And the Claws averaging 28-7 thus far in the playoffs as the Raptors try to close out the Magic tomorrow night in Toronto. The Celtics obviously advanced already. The Rockets looking to dump the Jazz and sweep them tonight. The Pistons one loss away from being sent home in similar fashion as the Bucks look really good. I am really curious, and we'll do this next hour, but I'm really curious how the Bucks come into round two after really not being challenged at all, by Detroit, and expectation. Be interesting.
You're right. They're a team that we've been waiting to see how they execute on the important level of basketball, which is the postseason. And so far, so good.
Yeah, so far, so
not
very
that they've
good.
Had much of a challenge, but still,
they will in the next round. The Celtics waiting for them, who are well rested. Okay, football at the 40s. Let's roll. 40s. Let's roll.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
Love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we got a lot of stuff to mash through, so let's start pounding. You ready for this? How about this Hall of Fame talent evaluator? Doesn't mean he's always right. Built the Cowboys teams back in the day. Gil Brandt, okay, the great legendary Gil Brandt, who's been doing this for a long time, quote, I love, you ready? Dan, he calls him Dan.
Dan
Jones.
Daniel.
More to the quote, and then I'll hand it off to my partner and you dissect it.
Yep.
I have to say this carefully. This is still Gil Brandt. When you watch him and you go back 20 years and you watch, you ready? Peyton Manning, you're watching the same guy. He's athletic.
He is.
Yeah, no doubt. He's more athletic than Peyton, actually.
No doubt.
Doesn't have a rocket for an arm, but neither did Peyton. They're both very smart. So hyperbole is Gil Branch's better than us because I don't see Peyton Manning when I see Daniel Jones. I'm not saying I don't see a good player.
Yeah.
A little excessive.
Look,
what's happening there?
Daniel Jones has the chance to be a very safe and productive player for a long time in the National Football League. But he's not a risk taker. Like, he's not going to throw the ball downfield into tight coverage and say, I can fit it into that window 15 yards between the safeties. That's not his game.
Mm-hmm.
He dinks and dunks, and it's actually kind of boring in a sense.
Yeah.
But it is productive. Now, maybe he was that way at Duke because Duke's surrounding pieces, DT, sucked.
Yeah, they didn't have any way. They didn't have weapons.
They dropped a ton of balls. His offensive line was horrendous, half running for his life. That's why he was getting rid of it quickly. But he's a smart player. He physically has the tools, as Kevin Carter said. I did a show, Inside College Football Draft Special, Quarterback Edition, which will air tonight on CBS Sports Network.
Love
7
it.
To 9.
Love it.
We'll remind you later on. But mm-hmm. Kevin Carter said he's like your stallion in the barn. You walk in, you see him, you're like, that is a beautiful horse. He's 6'5", 6'4", 230 pounds.
Okay.
He's athletic. He runs like a 4'7", right? He looks the part. Has a pretty big arm, not a cannon, but he's got a big enough arm. But he's safe, and he's that's smart in some senses, but in others, it'll turn you off because he's never going to make that rocket throw that you need to win in the National Football League.
It's funny, he was showing the clips here, and he looks like Peyton's uniform when he was with the Colts, too. I mean, Duke and, you know, very similar there, although you didn't really see Peyton Manning run 40 yards in the house too much while with the Colts or Tennessee. All right, let me throw this by real quick because we want to get to a lot of stuff here. More, less, or equal talent to Alex Smith, because when I hear Daniel Jones describe that, when I watch him play, it's not a bad thing. I see a lot of Alex Smith.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that's about who he is.
If that's the case, why wouldn't he go top 10? Alex Smith wins.
He might. If Daniel Jones was had a good system, like a good group of skill position players around him, I think he would have been a star. I really do in college. Not that he wasn't a star in college at Duke. I mean, he was great down there. But they won. They were 8-5. They won because of Daniel Jones. Not because they had a great defense or they had this or that. They won because of Daniel Jones.
Did he beat any great teams?
He didn't. He was 1-5 against ranked teams, so it wasn't great. But a lot of that, you chalk it up to a defense.
It's a team game.
He's intriguing. He's very intriguing because he's not going to make the mistake. He's not Drew Locke going to try to, I can fit it into there. I know I can. I'm going to do it. And he does it. And you're like, okay, that goes the other way. But he is, I like him. I'm biased.
I know you do.
Because when we met him, he was here in studio with us.
You've been touting him for a while.
But I do think he has top 10 talent. The question is if anyone's going to pull the trigger on him.
Okay. I mentioned Peyton Manning before. May as well get to this now. Peyton Manning will not be joining the Monday Night Football booth.
Yeah, not surprising.
I was going to fix the rims for the Boogmobile. Get Peyton under the hood. So he's going to expand his relationship in 2019, but it will not include the type of expansion that ESPN obviously was hoping for. So Peyton will not jump in the booth. Listen, it's a matter of time before Peyton does whatever Peyton wants to do, probably gearing up for ownership based on the money.
Some sort of executive front office type thing or ownership. I agree with you, BT.
He's not going to coach. It doesn't look like he's really going to do games anytime soon, but it's coming. Just a matter of when. About this now. Because Seattle really has no more money for Frank Clark, apparently they have to trade him. And reportedly, this isn't a surprise, drawing some real interest from a lot of teams. By the way, I wouldn't mind my Jets making a play and seeing if they can't get their hands on Frank Clark. Jets have some gap room. If they could ever get a trade and get him and then maybe trade out from 3 to whatever and maybe still take a wide receiver or an offensive lineman late in the first round, I would personally be thrilled. Frank Clark is good.
He is very good.
He had a ton of sacks a year ago. He's going to be 26 in December, just entering his football prime. Is it a foregone conclusion he's absolutely on a different team next season?
I think so, BT, because they just can't afford him. You know, just they're going to run up against cap issues, as we mentioned last week, BT, before they signed Russell Wilson. They only had, you know, $10 million in cap space. Half of which is reserved for your draft picks. Now you sign Russell Wilson, and he's making $35 million a year. It's just unfortunate. It's the It's the nature of the of a salary capped league. They have to move on from him, and it sucks for them because their defense has already had a lot of attrition, guys going elsewhere, being released or traded.
Mm-hmm. Here's a quote from their GM, John Snyder. This in the Seattle Times. He said, quote, let's see, we love Frank, obviously, but Snyder also didn't rule out the possibility of the 25-year-old defensive end playing elsewhere. I'm not under the impression that he won't when he was asked whether or not he's going to stick around. I don't know. It basically non-committal. So they're open dialogue and see what they could get back. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do get back a first-round pick because you get after the quarterback, which he's done 2 years in a row, by the way, with double-digit sack totals. He's a beast. He's young. Somebody's going to make a move for him. We'll see who that team is. NFL teams reportedly dismayed with one of the positions as we get ready for the draft. We know the defensive line stacked. There's a couple of good corners. Greedy Williams from LSU certainly jumps out to me. A couple of interesting quarterback prospects that you and I, aside from a couple of guys who seem to be a little bit more home runnish, if you will, Kyler Murray with the Cards, maybe Dwayne Haskins. Offensive linemen, not necessarily top five worthy, but there's a couple of good players. But it seems like there's a dearth of wide receiver talent, and I find that interesting because most, and this coming from NFL executives that say there's not a lot of talent, most college teams throw the football. Where are the receivers these days?
The problem is that a lot of the guys are gimmick guys. So you look at a kid like Parrish Campbell, who's coming out of Ohio State. Like he caught like a bunch of little bubble screens, and is after the catch.
His yak, you mean?
His ability was amazing. So he'd catch it at the line of scrimmage and he'd go 60 yards for a touchdown or break one that way. The big prospects that people are looking at right now are the kid from Ole Miss, DK Metcalf.
A.J. Brown.
But a lot of people think he's freak. Like, he's too good to be true.
I can't take him in a top 10.
Exactly. I think that's ridiculous. He's the number one rated wide receiver right now. Parrish, I mentioned. Marquise Brown from Oklahoma, who's a stud.
Antonio's cousin.
But he's little.
Antonio's cousin?
Yeah, but he's little.
Imagine the Steelers taking him.
Oh, God, you imagine? But he's 5'9", 160 pounds. Uh-huh. He's a blazer. A.J. Brown, who is DK Metcalf's teammate you mentioned from Ole Miss. But there's not a ton of them that just jump off the screen like a Julio Jones.
Definitely. Or Beckham. I don't even see a Jarvis Landry now.
So they're not those guys right now. And it's because the systems that they're playing in don't showcase or train them to be NFL wide receivers, right? Run a 16-yard dig, right? And stop and settle down in the zone. Or, you know, run a slant and a go. Like, they don't do those things a lot in college because of the way the systems are designed. So could they turn into stars in the NFL? Absolutely.
Yep.
We're just not informed about it yet because of what teams do in college.
I'll tell you what. I know there's two guys who could catch it on Iowa. Problem is they're both tight ends. Kids are good.
Yeah.
Fant and Hockenson. Yeah. Hawkinson, better blocker. Fant, maybe a little more tools.
Give me the blocker.
He might go top 10.
No.
I could see somebody making him, maybe the Jaguar. We'll see. Pats go up and take a tight end. All right, this pertains to your team. Now, it wasn't a direct shot necessarily at Odell Beckham Jr., but a lot of people are construing Dave Gettleman's words as just that. All right, he talks about what, in essence, is a culture or was a culture problem with the Giants. This was with NewJersey.com. Gettleman said wide range of things, including, quote, teams win championships. All players need to be on board with the organization's philosophy. He added that his critics are missing the point as to why he made some of these trades. Quote, more of it. There's more to it than just collecting talent. It's a cultural thing to it that's critical. Mm-hmm. I have not been on a team that's gone through a Super Bowl that's had a culture problem. Then he was asked if there was a culture problem in New York, and here's where people are really thinking this is about OBJ. He said, quote, not anymore. Talk to me, Teak.
Of course there is a culture problem. When someone's not happy with team success if it doesn't involve him, then there's a culture problem. And we also know that the discipline was a big issue. And as much as we love Coach Coughlin, it goes back to Coach Coughlin. He didn't establish a precedent about what was acceptable and what wasn't. So therefore Odell acted out the way that he acted out. And then his teammates started doing the same. Then you have the banana boat trip. He wasn't a banana boat trip, but you know what I mean.
The trip
down to Florida. And then you have the nonsense that happens the week after that. And you get the draft the next year.
Yep.
And then you get the stuff the next year with, you know, Eli Apple and, you know, police in the locker room with each other, but they're fighting with each other.
Landon Collins was involved in that.
You know, calling each other. I mean, it was chaos, man. Uh-huh. And as good as a player as he is, it was chaos. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this, BT. Go look at the tape. You go watch Odell Beckham Jr. If he feels like he's open and he doesn't get the ball, he's body language.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to say a word.
He's selfish.
Doesn't have to say a word, BT. Body language tells you he wasn't a team player. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, if you were listening, Eli made some of his worst throws trying to force the ball to Odell Beckham
Jr. To placate Odell.
And look, Eli had to deal with that before.
Yeah.
He dealt with it with Jeremy Shockey.
Burris a little bit. Not as much with Burris. Burris was great.
Shockey was, I mean, he was frustrating, right? Eli managed it. Ben, different world now. The Giants are in an interesting spot right now, but maybe I'm blindly doing this, but I'm buying into what David Gettleman is trying to do.
Listen, I've been saying for years that, you know, Odell was a problem.
BT, you said it 3 years ago they should have traded him.
I did. I didn't want to pat myself too bad on the back, but I did say it 3 years ago. But if they have a good draft, they can fix a lot.
Agreed.
It is salvageable. Third hour coming up. TQ and Tierney.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.